What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. And every Monday, as promised, we do a little segment called Metric Mondays, where we give you a little bite-sized piece of information, something you can think about in your practice to improve your practice and your life. And today we're going to do just that with another metric, and it's called accounts receivable percentage. What this does is it breaks down your aging receivables by how long they haven't been collected and where they should be. And we have an amazing coach on today. Her name is Ariel Jude. She tells you what it is and what the percentages should be and what to do if they're not in the right ranges. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Guess what today is? Today's Monday. Happy Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend, and I hope you're enjoying either the ride to work or maybe you have the day off, but you're listening to our regular program segment, which is called Metric Mondays. Every Monday, our goal, because we're geeks and we love this stuff, we're practice coaches. If you guys don't know this, this is what we do. We roll up our sleeves and we work with great dental practices all over the country. And a lot of them are just looking for incremental improvement to improve their practice and their life. And we're going to give you a little insight on what we do. And if you've been tuning in regularly to Mondays, we have this Metric Monday segment. And today I have back one of our amazing coaches, Ariel Jude. And Ariel, last week we talked about accounts receivable ratio. We're going to go in a little different direction today. Where are we going today?
We're going to go ahead and dive a little bit deeper. So if you did your homework, you know what your accounts receivable is, right? What that ratio is. And so today we're going to dive in to see what are the percentages in the intervals, to really know from patients and insurance, how long is it taking for us to collect that money?
Yeah. And so let's just talk about why that's so important that you know the intervals in which each one of these are. Like, it's important to know that because everybody knows this. The longer you get down the road of owed to the practice, the less likely it is to be collected. And I'll say this before we get started, because Ariel's going to walk us through this. People that owe you money, they don't like you. You might think they like you, but they don't. They're avoiding you like crazy. You see a patient at the grocery store. They can see you. And they go, oh my gosh, there's my dentist. I owe my dentist money. I'm going to avoid them. So it naturally, whether you like it or not, starts to break relationships. So it's very important to create a healthy relationship between you, your patients, and how they pay in your practice. And so walk us through this. Like, how does this work, Ariel?
Yeah. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to look at, from patients and insurance, track how long our uncollected balances have been outstanding and what that percentage is and where it falls into that. So the first one is going to be what we consider current, 0 to 30 days, right? That's healthy and very expected. This is where you should see your largest portion of outstanding receivables, right? Because they're recent balances, insurance claims are outstanding, right? Maybe we have a couple patient portions, right? That if they paid at the crown prep, right? And they haven't received the crown seat yet, things like that. So it's all going to be very normal. So if you see a high percentage in this, right? You know, okay, perfect. Right. Then as we get a little bit later, we're in that 31 to 60 days. This is considered overdue, Right. So this is where I want everyone to know is yes, it is overdue. Don't wait till it gets that 90 days, right? At day 31, it's not super concerning, right? But I would say it's mildly concerning because it signals possible delays in our collections or that there's some claim denials and things like that. Maybe they haven't received the correct documentation or, in the insurance processing world, maybe they haven't even received your claim at all. Right. So we want to make sure that we're really following up on those once it hits that day 31 of, okay, what is going on? Like I said, it's still collectible. It's still very doable. We just have to dive a little bit deeper. After that, right, then we're getting into that 61 to 90 days. Now this is delinquent, right? This is a red flag because our balances should have been followed up on already. And maybe they have been followed up, right? But they should have had been making some sort of progress for this. So that's where we really say, okay, anything in this area, it's going to be a lot harder to collect. We're getting at that portion, right? Or whether it's insurance claims or patient balances.
Yeah.
And then the last bucket is anything over 90 days. That's a major concern because it's very unlikely to be collected with a lot without a lot of time, effort, or even some write-offs.
Yeah, we're going to talk about healthy amounts that should be in each one of those categories, but let's talk about how this impacts the practice, because once you understand how money flows through the practice and falls in each one of these, it has these impacts on the practice that are very, virtually unintended. So can you talk about that?
Well, right. I was like, I think the first one is that cash flow. We need to have a healthy cash flow in. We have to, pay the lights, right? We have to pay our utilities. We have to pay rent. And then most importantly, we have to be able to pay our team. Right? You also want to be in a comfortable place of if you have to invest in new equipment or new technology or growing the practice, right? We're going to need money in the bank account to do that. So we also know that when we have that cushion, our stress levels are down.
Right. And when you start to see these percentages fall into different categories, let's say you start to see more in the 90 plus, it actually indicates a breakdown in systems. It's not necessarily a breakdown in a person. It may, but like we got to revisit the breakdown in the system. So what does that mean, Ariel?
Well, like you said, right, is it's not necessarily the person, right? It could be, it's just a process. So we may just be inputting our insurance incorrectly. So we're getting inaccurate estimates. So we don't even know what to tell the patients, right? Or maybe our team hasn't been in alignment on collecting the patient investment at the time of service. Or maybe, we've gotten to that point that we've trusted that admin team member for so long to handle the finances, and they've just become a little more comfortable and they're not honoring the original financial policy. Maybe they're becoming just a little bit more lenient with those patients that have been coming for a long time. So that would be, in the beginning, right? We may just starting off setting our team up for failure. We must also be on the back end. I was like, once we know that a balance is there, we may not have someone or the process to follow up with it, or it may be weak follow-up, right? The lack of accountability, maybe we don't, maybe everyone's responsible for doing it, right? And then we all know it's like, well, did you call that patient? Did you send a letter? I will say sometimes we do fall into that comfortability of sending a text message. Oh, I sent them a text, and it's like, well, if we can get them on the phone, maybe we can collect. But obviously, no one likes to make those phone calls.
Yeah.
So it is, right? But it's that lack of accountability, or that confidence. What do I say when I do get them on the phone? So those are some of your back-end systems of, okay, once a balance is due, now what do we do?
Yeah. And chasing down some of these balances, it's a waste of time because you're adding labor. You know, if you want to count out postage, envelopes, paper, the time that it requires to do it. It also is creating future bad behavior in your practice. I'm a big fan of this. Like in dentistry, you have to teach people how to treat you. You have to teach them how to show up, teach them how to pay so that they're not giving you the rules. You're establishing the rules up front. You're going to find your best patients. They respect your rules. They honor you. They like you and they respect you, meaning they pay on time. And we see it from people all the time that don't really create a solid relationship up front, you know, their bills that they send out get sent to the bottom of the pile. People now know more than ever, they have to pay for things that they're obligated to pay for. And so if you don't have a tight system on this, it's going to show up in these percentages. So Ariel, let's give people a good idea of like benchmarks for each one of these categories. What do you think?
Yeah. So as we said, right, that 0 to 30 days, that's where your current healthy expected. We want to see 65% total aging in that bucket, right? That means we've just produced it and we're waiting on insurance, right? Maybe, like I said, patients aren't completed with treatment just yet. So you want to see a majority of that there. As we get to that 31 to 60, right now it's overdue, it's mildly concerning. We want to see about 20%. So we don't want to see anything more than 20% there for it. As we go down, right, 61 to 90, want to see 10% or less. And then this is where people will think that I'm crazy, but 91 plus days, right? You want to see it 5% or less because, like I said, those are very hard to collect on. And we want the least amount of balances to be in that bucket. Now, with that said, 5% could seem unrealistic for a lot of us if we're running those numbers. So take this benchmark and just make progress towards them. Don't set, you know, if we're at 50% in 90 plus days, you're not going to get to 5% overnight, and that's okay.
Yeah. And so the cool thing about this podcast is you don't have to agree with us. This is just our perspective. We coach great practices all over the country, and this is what we teach them. So we're giving you some perspective on what we tell them. And so, Ariel, you get to see people that come in as clients, and it's going well, and then it's not going well. So give us a peek inside to a practice that we coach, and it's going well, or we've been working with them for a while and it's going well. What does that look like?
Yeah. So it means that they have really good alignment on their financial policies, right? They have good systems in place. So there are specific team members, typically an admin team member, who's running weekly follow-up reports on insurance claims, following up with those, right? Touching those claims and finding out, you know, every 7 to 14 days of what we need to do. We have a really good daily process for collecting patient balances when they're coming in the door, right? And aging accounts are rare. So, right, if you're looking at those outstanding, they may have a handful of claims because it's an ortho claim, or, you know, they are under review or getting a peer review, whatever it may be. And the team member can tell you the name of the patient and what the claim is and what the status is. So really, they really don't have a issue on these percentages because their collections are 99 to 100% on a weekly basis.
Yeah. And if you listen to some of the other podcasts that we've had, you know, we're a big fan of collecting 100%, if not more, of your net collections. So people often think, well, 95% collections on net collections is good. Well, that might be an A in school, but it's a C in business, because the higher your collections are of the money that you should collect, the less problems you have with this later on. Right, Ariel?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it makes you think of like, what other profession do you go into and say, hey, this is what I'm worth, and this is how long I've worked, and this is what I should be paid, but I'll only take 95% of that.
Right. Wouldn't it be cool if you went to Costco?
I want to challenge you to get there.
I know. Wouldn't it be cool if you went to Costco or anywhere and they're like, you know what, you want to pay some of this today, or maybe half of it, or maybe 90% of it? No, they tell you, you got to pay all of it right now, you know? So it's amazing that in dentistry, we don't think people should pay, but they should pay. Give us some perspective on when it's not going well. A lot of great practices we get to see, they're really good people, but this money thing has not been fun for them, or they haven't put these systems in place. And when it's not going well, what does it look like inside a practice, Ariel?
It's likely they don't have a good function accountability chart. So there's no one person that really owns the follow-up. right? We can have multiple people who assist with it and to make those phone calls and to send claims or send statements, right? But we really need one person to own it. So sometimes it's a lot of, oh, well, we all do it, right? Or we don't have a good system for consistency, and it's we do it when we have time, or we send this out, we send statements periodically or monthly. Right. And then there's just no enforcement. Sometimes it's too, like I said, it's just lack of having the team members, and we're saying we're not putting an emphasis on this particular aspect. But really, like I said, it's going to help your cash flow, and it's unpredictable if we don't have someone who really sits down and takes ownership of it. I also see a lot of teams too of you may have something high in that 90, but you're like, hey, but we're collecting 99 to 100%. I want to say that's a great job. That means you stopped the bleeding from whenever it was happening. So maybe you've put some better front-end processes in place. So if you're like, hey, we're still collecting, you might have just to do a big one-time collections cleanup and really see are these, balances worth collecting upon. Just because the numbers are high doesn't mean you have all of your systems in place that need tweaking, right? It could just be a handful of them.
Yeah, it's so cool. And one of my favorite things about Metric Monday is like, we're giving you all these metrics. We want to tell you where they should be. We want to give you a treatment plan of what to do today. And then we love the term countermeasures, meaning you're going to go to the office today. You're going to look this up and you're going to go, well, Ariel said this should be at 20%. This should be at 10%. And this is not good. So what should I do? So what are some things, if I'm listening to this, Ariel, today, that I could do today that could improve the percentages or help me be better aligned with the targets that you recommended?
I'd say the very first step, right, is to develop a clear financial policy with your team and ensure that we're all on the same page. And even if you say, I have a financial policy, go back and review it with your team to ensure that we are still following it the way that we had intended originally. Sometimes we just naturally need to get back to that review of a system we put into place and we just assumed that it was holding up, right? And then make sure that that policy is also being reviewed with your patients so that they know their expectations. They know when I'm scheduled and I'm coming in, I'm getting this treatment done and this is my investment. That way you don't have to keep acquiring past due balances, right? We can stop it from the beginning and say, okay, even those balances that are past due, we're going to start fresh today and start collecting. That's the step one. After that, we really need a weekly task list of someone following up on those AR balances. We have to make sure that we're doing it weekly, right? Sending statements, following up on those insurance claims. And like I said, one person should really own this. Now, if you say that's too much for one person, I'm okay with splitting it and saying one person owns patient aging and one person owns insurance aging, right? That's some checks and balances that teams like to do. But you still know to go who to go to for what.
Yeah, love that. Love that. And I'll add one more. Again, Ariel, when she came in and became one of our coaches here, she just made us all sit up a little bit straighter and a little bit better. And I love the story about, I'm going to paraphrase and tell the story. Like, when you were working administrative up front, and it was so cool during the huddle that you guys can do this today. Ariel would call out like, hey, two patients owe us money today. So I need to see Mrs. Finelli, who owes us $4,500. She comes to see me first. And Mrs. Jones at 1 o'clock, she needs to come see me first too, so that you can stop the bleeding up there. When you put a patient in the schedule that owes you money, you can count on two things. The balance is going to grow and they're not going to show up. It's more likely they're going to show up. So it's really important that overall improving these systems, but improving them, one of the best ways to fix the schedule is in the schedule. You have patients coming in today that owe you money. Anything you would add to that? Did I tell that story correctly?
Absolutely, right? Like you said, it's coming in. The one caveat that I want to say to you is those patients knew that they had a balance because right. We didn't reschedule them without telling them, right? A lot of teams agree of, hey, it's easier to collect when they're in the office. That is true when they know it, right? Now, also those patients knew, oh, Ariel's talk to me. Ariel's going to be looking for me. So they would try to, oh, hi, hi, doctor, hi, hygienist, right? And they would try to scoot back. But that's where the team was like, no, have you talked to Ariel yet? Right? Because they're like, ah, they caught me. Right? And it's not always connive. They don't want it to be deceitful. They don't want, right? But it's just like, no one, let's be honest, no one likes to pay their bills. Right? But so that would say, don't just reschedule them without having those conversations. And that's why I also sat with them first. So that way, if they said, oh, I didn't know, or, I can't afford that today, we weren't just going to go ahead and add on to that previous balance that they already had. So does that mean some patients ended up leaving? Yes. All right. But if they would have stayed, we would have been doing the work for free anyways. So it was kind of a choice that the doctor and I just had, and we made an agreement that, we were okay with that, because it was a very small percentage of patients that came in and did not end up paying their bill.
Yeah, so well said, Ariel. This is so important. And if you get this right, you're going to see your patients will refer other patients and say, I know the deal. I got to pay up front. You really do have to create a healthy situation between your patients and how they pay in your practice. Any last thoughts you have, Ariel, before we say goodbye to everybody?
I think just right, put these processes in place, talk to your team, get on the same page for it, and just remember this all can be done in a very empathetic, friendly manner, right? We don't have to be harsh or, I know Barrett talks about bulldog, right? And it's like you can be firm in your system and your processes, but you can be very friendly about it, and patients will not be upset just by you trying to collect their past due balances.
Yeah, so well said. So, gosh, great job, Ariel. Thank you so much for being on today. I really appreciate it. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. And thanks for tuning in on Monday. Again, the goal here is we love this stuff so much. We're going to keep bringing it. With over 900 episodes, we've got 9,000 more because we love this stuff. We geek out on it. And if you get accounts receivable percentage right, you're going to see it fixes other things. Like Ariel said, you don't need to be mean about it. You don't need to be a bulldog. All you have to do is be clear and consistent with patients. You're going to see it has an incredible impact on the relationship and how they pay for the great services that you provide. So I hope you guys are enjoying this. If you struggle with any of this, we're here to help you. This is what we do. We're coaches. So don't try to figure this out. This is what we do all the time. So if you need help, we're here to help you. You can reach out and we'll help you every step of the way, help you create a better practice and a better life. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.